In final words to his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus encourages obedience to his commandments and speaks of the Spirit who will be with them forever. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. The angels grew bothered when they learned that God had planned to make human beings in God's own image. The angels were upset, and they said, "How can something so precious and powerful be entrusted to this creature? Why waste this on humans?" So they conspired to hide the image of God where no one would ever think to look for it. One angel suggested, "How about we put the angel of God at the bottom of the sea, at the lowest level, where no one will ever go?" Another angel spoke up and said, "No, at the top of the highest mountain that no one will ever climb. That would be far better." So one by one, the suggestions rolled in, only to be rejected by this larger company of angels. Then the shrewdest of all the angels offered the best idea of the day, saying, "Let us hide the divine image of God in the heart of every woman and man, for that is the last place they will look for it." The story ends with the angels hiding the precious divine image of God within the heart of human beings, where it has resided ever since. During the seasons of Easter, I've been preaching sermons on the nature of God. Today, we consider the image of God. Think of a young child outside on a sunny day trying to outrun her shadow on the sidewalk. First, she stomps on her shadow, curiously baffled at how anything could look and move so much like her. Then she attempts to sprint away and run away from her shadow, figuring her speed will surely allow for separation. But in the end, she discovers that she cannot shake her shadow. As with every other shadow, it remains always tied to the source. I think about people who spend their lives running away from God, stretching their independence like an expanded rubber band, only to eventually learn that they cannot ever escape from the God in whose image they originate. Any of us can easily get confused. 18th century French philosopher Voltaire said that God created us in God's image, and we have been returning the favor ever since, creating God in our image. How tempting it is to make God into our image. It happens every time we project onto God the way we wish God were or the way we want God to be. You give me the opportunity to make faith a self-centered enterprise, and I will do a fantastic job of turning God into what I need God to be: a war commander, a union organizer, a ruthless banker, a conniving politician. Don't you know God has the same likes and dislikes as me? It's amazing, but true. It's easy to say what God is for. It's even easier to say what God is against, especially when it's the same as what I am for and against. When we Christians are convinced that we are the only authority on truth, that anyone who opposes us is evil, that things will only get better if we are in charge of all positions of power, That is when we know that we no longer are worshiping God. We are worshiping ourselves. I heard someone say this recently, and it struck with me. Our real power comes from what we stand for, not what we stand against. The reality of the people who surrounded Jesus is that they were people who knew poverty, heartbreak, violence, and oppression. Maybe we should side with them instead of shun them, for they bear the image of God. They were blessed to be the first followers of Christ. And you are blessed, because even in the midst of your struggle, God sees you bearing the image of God. You are blessed because God knows you are more than your worst moment. You are more than your pain. You are more than what the world tells you you should be. God sees you in your struggle and exhaustion and calls you beloved, dear one, child. To be God's child is to be blessed. So God sees your resilience. God sees your compassion. God sees your commitment to community. God sees what you dream and long for. God sees your courage, even if you do not see it. God sees, even in your desperation, the strength it takes just to get up and face another day. As Jesus said in today's reading, the Advocate will come and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit abides with you, and He will be in you. God sees your possibility and your purpose. God has breathed it. God has created it into you. Created in the image of the Creator, you hold all the possibility and the purpose of God. For He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.